of it.
Mass, you loser.
Kutcher and Rich.
When you're that short, it's more than okay to be a dick.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Zolak's the worst.
He turned to me as if to say, hurry, boy, it's waiting there for you.
Gonna take the life and drag me away. 98.5, the Sports Hub. We're touching and Rich. Toto's Africa has had resurgence due to the Butch Walker-produced Weezer version of Africa.
It is the year of Toto. I mean, if you're those guys, aren't you, like, elated that all of a sudden you're getting all these royalties that you just never got?
Yeah.
Why are they not touring? You should tour right now. You are as
80s music's had, like, a weird evolution where people in the 90s, everyone thought it sucked. And then it came back after.
Oh,
that,
sure.
Right? Like, in the 90s, everyone thought, like, 80s music, stuff was awful. Like,
I don't know about that, but
I thought so.
I know what you mean, but there's, like, a tinge of irony,
to play,
too.
When we were in high school, we used to play it just because it was so bad. Like, we thought it was so bad. Like,
sure.
You know what
you
I mean?
You had Paul's Boutique. You had several of the...
Well, Toto's Africa was a legit great song. Like, that was a great song. Really well written.
Oh, yeah. Fantastic.
And then, you know, Weezer did that one cover of it, too, which has become a pretty big hit, by the way, which they really had nothing to do. They didn't shop it to radio. They just released it because there was that one 14-year-old girl who kept emailing them and became viral. Hey, will you please cover Toto's Africa?
Didn't they do another Toto song first to troll everybody,
they did. They released Rosanna.
Right,
and they said, finally, you know, after like a couple months, they said, here you go. You've been asking for it. Here's our Toto cover. And you clicked
Butch
on
Walker
it.
Produced
it Rosanna.
It.
Not only is Toto still touring, they were in Lynn last month, apparently.
Well, obviously, they're...
They're really taking advantage of it.
Lynn.
Of their fame.
Yeah.
So you've got that. You know, everyone's Africa obsessed. Yeah, you know, Weezer's done their thing. And by the way, you know, the guys from Weezer, they're as shocked as anyone, because I read an interview with Rivers Cuomo, and they said, you know, this is something that we had no intention of being anything except for something for our website. And all of a sudden, everyone picked it up and it blew up. And now it's like their one, I think it might be their biggest hit that they've ever had,
which is a
cover song.
Sad state of affairs.
It is. Just ask Limp Bizkit with her Faith cover.
Oh, that was so awesome. The way he yelled it.
He did. I got it. Faith.
Yeah.
It really, now get the blank up.
Yeah, he took the song Faith, which was like a jazzy little pop hit, and then he made it into a super hardcore song.
But if you thought the year of Toto's Africa was over with, oh,
it was just getting started.
You have not reached the pinnacle of greatness when it comes to what you can do with that song. Because just yesterday, all of us were given an early Christmas present. Straight off the upcoming Aquaman soundtrack, there's one person, one legend, who has yet to put his fingers all over this thing.
And as yet is just saying, don't go see Aquaman.
So, ladies and gentlemen, I think we should... This is the world premiere on the Touch and Rich Show. Can you pot this up, Fred? It deserves the...
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, the world premiere of this new classic on the Toucher and Rich Show.
They tried to get rid of me, but from ocean to ocean, they gonna have to deal with me. I've been overlooked, slept on, left for dead, always against all odds like Roxanne. I'm the living Great Gatsby, but these boys are watching quick and disappear like Banksy. From ocean to ocean, sea to sea, I'm something that you gotta see.
From ocean to ocean, I'm something that you gotta see?
Well, listen, yeah, got a S-E-A.
Oh.
It's something that you gotta see. It's cerebral, you know, yo. Mr. Worldwide, Mr. 305.
Good, you've made no money on this.
Way to change the lyrics there.
Yeah. It's not about money, it's about the art.
Right, yeah. It's about just taking the easiest road. Jesus God. So here's Pitbull saying, I'm going to make a penny on every time this album is sold.
And here's Toto just giving him back the royalties checks, saying, dude, it's not worth it. Just keep it. Don't butcher
it. If I'm Toto, I'm taking every penny this idiot will give me.
Streets 305 till I die. Love for the streets, that's why I speak this fast.
We should have played Pitbull Bingo. Like the things he's going to mention.
Jesus.
He's going to rhyme a song with the same word. He's done that before. He's got to do Mr. 305, Mr. World. Why?
Yep.
Has to be in there at some point.
There's no reason for him to rhyme on any of these songs. Like it just gets in the way.
Isn't that what a rapper does?
Yeah, a rapper does that. Not Pitbull.
Pitbull already.
I will almost tell you that Timber's a hit if he's not on it.
Yeah, that's a point because it's a very catchy chorus.
Yes, and he ruins it.
Right. All you need is Kesha, and you can just literally put anyone in there. You know.
No, just do nothing.
Steve Rule. Just let him just talk.
No, in this, you put a different beat to Africa, and then you don't need anyone rhyming on it.
Is there anything more phoned in than a song where they just take the chorus from another song and just let it roll?
It almost never happens anymore because you don't make any money.
Pitbull's done it like 8 times lately.
Yes, except for Pitbull. it almost never happens.
Sure. Well, I mean, P. Diddy, you know, it's...
He did the Breath You Take.
Right.
Yeah, and a bunch of other stuff. But, like, the Beastie Boys, after Paul's Boutique, except for a few minor instances, played all their own music.
Well, that's because if you click on this video that was put out yesterday, it's got like 18 different companies that are involved, like Warner Brothers Music and with
like
Interscope.
All kinds of like drop advertising.
It's like a million people have their finger in the pie of this song.
Yeah, he's
like,
not going to make a dollar off of it.
Listen, you know. What? Especially on the island, took over my city, now it's time for the world. I live and they rap it, there's a difference, girl. Getting paid more than athletes, man, life is sweet. GM owner status, Papa, watch me. Gonna take the love. Say getting paid more than athletes?
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
He cool, did. Man. I'm getting paid more than an athlete.
He gets paid more than a backup goaltender.
Who's this Sia ripoff, by the way, too? Because Sia probably heard this like, I ain't got nothing to do with this.
Someone who's working for scale. Quick on my feet, now I say sleep is the cousin of death, so I don't sleep. These boys act like they hard, but we know that they sweet. They wouldn't bust a great better food fight, Bobo, please. That's a diss right there.
It's not even called Africa either. Ocean to Ocean is the name of it.
Well, of course.
Yeah. Gotta put his own spin on
he's
it.
He's got a boys with a mouth full of gold, they're hanging with Slim Jr. down in Mexico. Take it with a grain of salt and a pound of gold. The game is to be sold and not told. Let's go. Gonna take the love to drive me away. Somebody said, is John Wallach running around the studio right now?
No, not even. Not to this one.
It's his visceral reaction to whenever.
No. I have Pitbull on my tape.
You bet your ass he does.
On his tape.
I do.
On his tape.
Did I say tape?
His Walkman?
My Walkman, my disc band. It skips every 5 feet.
But in fairness, he has the yellow one that's waterproof.
That's right. That's right.
And skip proof, which
what
it wasn't.
What do you run to, Bert? You don't run to this, do you?
Skip proof. The CD man was
usually
that.
Run to podcasts.
Oh, all right. That's boring.
Because that's the easiest way to take your mind off of running.
I agree.
Like, I think if you listen, music's fine. And music, but I just feel like podcast is the easiest way to ignore the fact that you're actually running.
Okay.
Well, John needs to get super hyped up.
Damn right
he's busting out those 5-minute miles.
That's you do.
Come on, not baby. All. No, no, no. So like one song hit Bert. They've blown it up into this. So, yes.
Let me tickle it, baby. Let me tickle it, baby.
He might as well just be work for an ad agency that represents Walmart.
Just because it's just like as bland as you can get.
Yeah, just be a guy who can. He's a creative director at big ad agency. And he's. Mommy got an ass like a donkey with a monkey. Look like King Kong. Run to
the crib real fast. That's what it is with the women down here. I'm just now noticing that he says 305 in that clip. Like, he throws it in so much, it doesn't even sound like words.
I'm just looking at your screen. How much Pitbull do you have there?
You want some more? It's Biggity Boys and Diggity
Dog.
Like
half the screen is Pitbull.
I've had a conversation with Esoteric in a very serious one. If Pitbull's the worst MC of all time.
Wow.
There is a serious debate.
That sounds like a hater's take.
Yeah, I hate him.
Timber. He rhymes Timber with Timber.
But that's a hit regardless of him.
Mm-hmm.
It's a better song if he doesn't rap on it. It was
mixed,
a good song.
He mixed it, right?
Yeah, right. Picture that with a Kodak. Go to Times Square. Once again, I'm going to ride Kodak with Kodak.
All right. Bert Brewer's in the studio. He will talk about everything that's going on in the NFL.
You're listening to Toucher and Rich, 85 Sports Hub.
This for the win. 4 seconds left in the game, but this is likely the final play that matters. End zone wide open. What a night for Mike Williams. And the Chargers have their first lead of the night at 29-28. To the world that we're for real, we're going to prove to everybody we know
the real deal. We got golden voices and hearts still because the five MCs. This is an 80s song, Bert. Bert with one of the worst takes of all time. That 80s music was bad.
No, I loved 80s music, eventually. I feel like people in the 90s...
I have a feeling that you lived in some sort of bubble.
No. People
where it was 90s. All like sha-na-na.
They went straight to the 70s trying to be 60s or 50s? Is that what sha-na-na was?
Oh, yeah. They were 50s.
70s trying to be 50s, yes.
I would say 80s, too.
I graduated high school in 98. Mm-hmm. I feel like people my age, like... 80s music was sort of a punchline in the 90s for all of us, right? And then it became, and then when I got to college, all of a sudden people are having 80s parties and coming around on the idea, well, this isn't so bad anymore.
Anything 20 years old is cool. Like, it just happens.
I think it happened in the 70s. Yep. I think it happened with like 70s music too in the 80s, right?
Sure. Well, yeah.
Well, no, everyone hated 70s music. What happened is in the 80s, you had the birth of rap. Becoming, coming up from its very, very beginning origins.
You had New Wave. You had a lot of great punk rock.
You had West Coast punk rock coming up.
I've got a great story about this I can't tell on the air. God, about 80s music and everything else.
Okay. Well, yeah. Tell us off the air. Involving
We Built This City.
Okay.
That's not a good song.
No, that is not a good one.
All right. So,
By the way, Friday morning's Bert Breer brought to you by Salvador Auto Group. It's the end of the year, and Salvador's incredible deals on Chevy, Ram, and pre-owned trucks just off Route 2 in Gardner. And it's salvadortrucks.com. Salvador's got your truck.
All right. So, Bert, last night, we've talked to a few people, and they say that if they were the Patriots, they'd rather play in Kansas City than in San Diego. Do you share that sentiment?
Well, it'd be hard for them to play in San Diego.
You see, you're pulling a Stephen A. Smith this morning, Fred.
My bad.
You're
not, Los Angeles.
The old Los Angeles soccer stadium that holds, a whopping 27,000 people, and most aren't even Chargers fans.
I know. Yeah.
Bert, that was just mean.
Come on. There's no need for that.
He just laid it up there for me.
I feel
you made fun of his 80s take. He's going to come back.
I'm an NFL guy, damn it. That's what that was.
And by the way, at the end of the 80s,
what did you think of Hunter Henry last night?
I mean, that guy clips great.
That was unbelievable.
Well, once again, you know, I say dumb things all the time. But the
San Diego
amount.
I'm just busting balls. What I'm saying is, San Diego thing's fine.
If you haven't heard the clip, Stephen A. Smith said four wrong things in 30 seconds. Which is astounding.
Brusky's face was priceless.
Yeah, it's as if he just was confused as to what planet he was on. Like, what are we talking about here?
And plus,
or smelled a fart.
It was almost a fart face.
Well, first of all, it's Stephen A. Smith's job. I mean, that's his only job, is to talk about sports. I mean, he's not in any way, shape, or form supposed to be entertaining in any other way. Second of all, his real takes that were, hey, but how about that Mahomes?
Yeah.
Hey, how about that Tyreek Hill?
Yeah, that was.
And you're like, yeah, they're good. Yeah. All right. So, what's your feeling on that? Would you, if you're the Patriots, would you rather play in Los Angeles or would you rather play in Kansas City?
I'd say probably Los Angeles. See, the Chargers, I think, are more equipped to win in the playoffs because they're more complete. What we saw last night was a Chiefs defense that couldn't stop a nosebleed when it mattered most. And I think you saw the flaws in the way the Chiefs are built. So I think the Chargers are more equipped to win in January. I still think I'd rather go play in L.A. than in Arrowhead, because if you go to L.A., it's basically going to be a home game, right? Like, the amount of Boston transplants you got out there, you're going to be walking into a 25,000-seat stadium, perfect weather, and probably 20,000 of your fans in the stadium.
And you were telling me that it's the most expensive ticket in the NFL, even though it's, like, the smallest, because they got to make up that revenue.
Right.
Because of the lack of people that can
You think about it. If you want to split up Southern California, like, everybody, Orange, like, people in Orange County and South, they've alienated because they left San Diego, and then people like the top of Orange County and north don't care.
Yeah.
So, like, it's a bad situation, man. I don't know what they're going to do because they're doing this. Now they've pissed off the Rams because they're turning around, and then they're going to have, like, bargain basement prices in the new stadium, mm-hmm. which is undercutting what the Rams are trying to do. They feel like it's devaluing the stadium, and it's going to wind up costing the Rams revenue. And so it's just a messy situation in general. And you guys have seen what it's embarrassing what the home games look like.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, yep. I mean, when the Eagles were there last year, it was literally all green. Like, there's a picture of, I want to say it was Corey Clement scoring a touchdown and, like, you know, putting his hands up in the end zone. And if you look behind him, all you saw was just a sea of Eagles people. Mm-hmm. When the Broncos were there earlier this year, same thing. And when the Cardinals came there, it was like 5,000
people.
No one
showed up.
I was just going to say nobody wants to come.
Well, yeah. The one thing we were talking about earlier is that, you know, last night's game, it was phenomenal the way it ended. If for the people who didn't see it, there was a touchdown. They were down by two scores, the Chargers, 14 points, with like less than 5 minutes left. You know, they go down, they score one, and then they come back and they all but tie it. So they score a touchdown. Right. They're down by one, but instead of going for the extra point and tying it and going to overtime,
yep.
they go for the kill. They mm-hmm. try to do the 2-point conversion. That has happened more this year with teams going for the win, also doing things like going for it on fourth down
right.
than I can remember in any other year. Wow. Is there...
There was the one week...
Am I imagining this, first of all?
There was the one week where I believe the Colts went for it on like a 4th-and-4 in overtime, didn't get it, and the Texans wound up beating them. That was in yeah. Indianapolis.
There yeah. was the,
that same week, there was another one that was...
Titans. The Vrabel went for right, it and lost
right,
it. And
right.
they didn't pull it off and
right,
lost.
Right.
However, but there's been more than that.
They went for two at the end. That was the London game.
Yep.
I think there are two things at work here. All right, number one, it's analytics. And that there are... more coaches, and again, I think maybe one of the biggest stories, like if you want to look at the NFL as a whole this year, is how open-minded coaches have become. Mm-hmm. Like they're more open-minded to doing the college scheme stuff, and we've seen that with the Bears, with the Chiefs. The Patriots have actually done this sort of thing forever. So I think they're sort of in a separate category because they were ahead of a lot of teams in this stuff. So I think they're more open-minded to a lot of things, and part of that is... like, okay, like, well, if I've got an analyst here who's giving me this data who says, well, you know, in the end, like, if you look at the numbers, going for two on a more consistent basis is going to pay off. Mm-hmm. Like, the coach is going to pay attention to that now. If, you know, in fourth down situations, if, like, you know, you're weighing the numbers, like, up the punt versus, like, you know, the risk of... you know, the benefit of the punt versus the risk of not getting on a fourth down, you should take the risk of not getting on a fourth down, then, you know, the coaches are going to listen to that. The second part of it is, I mean, we've heard, it's cliche, the NFL's a copycat league. Who won the championship last year? The Eagles won the championship last year playing that way.
Yeah.
You know, and like Doug Peterson, to his credit, was very open-minded to all of this stuff. And so I think it's a combination of, you know, more analysts and more analytically driven people being in these buildings and coaches being willing to listen to them. And then I think it's the team that won the championship has been that way for a while. Mm-hmm. And, you know, other teams see, well, okay, if the championship team is doing it, we're going to be more open-minded.
Well, it's also made for a better product this season.
I think so, yeah.
I mean, you think about...
the product this year has been great. I mean, I think it's been night and day versus last year.
Absolutely.
Without a doubt. Is it a lot of it have to do with... the quarterbacking situations around the league? You've got these younger guys who play, like, I mean, Mahomes and
Goff and
Sam Darnold, and then you have these games like the one that you had, the Rams versus the Chiefs, which was like an all timer. I just think that this is a better way to play, and I know that there's a lot of purists who love the defensive struggles, but then go watch that game the other game with the Vikings, and tell me if you enjoyed that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's... honestly, like, it doesn't even need to be, like, there are a lot of people who thought coming out of that Rams-Chiefs game that all of a sudden it's going to turn into the Big 12. I don't think that. Like, I think so much of football is a cat-and-mouse game where it's like, the reason the Patriots constantly evolve and are always doing new stuff is they're always trying to stay in front of, you know, where the trends are going and mm-hmm. search for inefficiencies and all that different stuff. And so, like, I think so much of this is just a giant cat and mouse game. You probably have, and again, part of the result of coaches being more open-minded to the stuff that's happening in college is, well, we're going to get ahead of everybody else. And then when they catch up, we're going to be on to something else. And so I think that that's going on. And really, a huge part of it, I think, is how fast do you adjust? And we're starting to see, I mean, the scoring's not like it was in September and October. The Chiefs are great. They scored 28 points last night, which isn't, you know, like isn't 54. You know what I mean? Right. So I think there's a bunch of stuff going on, but I think it's made for a great product. And a huge, huge piece of it, I think, is just the open-mindedness of the coaches to go and do different stuff and to do stuff that might have been derided in the past. Like, if, like, you guys remember this, like, 20 years ago, like, if an NFL team ran a reverse or a jet sweep or an option play, it would be derided. It would be like, oh, that's college. That's gimmicky stuff.
Sure.
Like, it's not that way anymore. You're seeing, like, well, that stuff really does work on the NFL level if you try.
It's all about the jet sweep now, right?
Yeah, I mean, there's so much of that. Like, if you look at the Rams, the way they play offense, try to, like, if you went back and you looked at every pass play they did, like they ran, they, I mean, maybe not next week, last week against the Bears because it was in the cold, but in general, every pass play they run, like, almost all of them have some sort of run action on them, whether right. it's a reverse or a yeah. jet sweep or a or just a straight-up play action. Like, there's some sort of run action on everything. That's all from the college level,
right,
you know?
Sure.
And so I think a huge, huge piece of this is, and you got, I mean, like, Oklahoma, like, I don't know how much you guys have watched.
I was just going to say, that's why Lincoln Riley's going to be Lincoln an NFL Riley, coach next
Lincoln,
year.
Lincoln Riley, so I had a discussion with Lincoln Riley about this in June, and he said to me, after the 2016 season, he probably watched, like, he probably had, like, maybe, like, two or three NFL coaches come in and watch tape with him and, like, ask him, hey, what are you doing here? What are you doing there? Last year, he said that he said it was either 29 or 30 teams had one, a coach, a scout, someone come in and want to watch tape with him.
Everyone except Patriots.
Like, in one year.
Yeah.
In 1 year.
Everyone except Belichick.
Josh was down there.
Okay.
Josh was down there. Josh was down there with Baker Mayfield. And, look, I just think that there's that – it's flipped so fast. Like, there's, like, this open-mindedness to, well, I mean, Matt Nagy, the Bears coach, told me now he watches, you know, when he's looking at draft prospects, mm-hmm. watches them with two notepads. On one notepad, he's taking notes on the players, and on the other notepad, he's taking notes on the plays. And he's like, I steal stuff from everywhere. And he's telling me he stole a play that they ran last year in Kansas City from the University of New Hampshire. You know, like, they're just taking stuff from everywhere.
Well, that's like Pitbull. All right, we'll be right back with Bert Breer from
MMQB. We're tied all together.
Yeah. Well, that's my job. Yeah. MMQB, here are the headlines.
Sports Hub.
I'm going to go against that. I will tell you, I'll stick with the Kansas City Chiefs. Obviously, losing Kareem Hunt, I think, is going to be somewhat devastating for them because you got to make an adjustment. I'm going to have some faith in Spencer Ware and thinking that, you know, he can do some things. I'm keeping my eyes on this matchup right here.
Spencer
you got
Ware's
your linebacker.
Out.
I'm sorry?
Spencer Ware is out.
Oh, yes, I forgot. I'm sorry,
out
Max.
With
I'm
the foot.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Absolutely, he is out. But I'm thinking Tyreek Hill. I'm thinking Patrick Mahomes. I'm also looking at the San Diego Chargers on offense, and I'm thinking about Hunter Henry and the way that he's played this year and as effective as he's been. He's going up against Derek Johnson, and I got to keep my eyes on that because I'm looking at it from the standpoint. Listen, here's where I'm at with all of this.
Stay off the weed.
Softly with this song, click strong. This ain't nothing like a chick song. Big John in the shower with a big blonde switch on.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich, and Bert Breer from MMQB is in studio. And when you look at the Patriots and you look at the mental mistakes that happened with Tom Brady at the end of the first half, and Bill Belichick obviously having Gronkowski out there, which is one of the funny things, is that Gronkowski was enjoying himself. And again, when you let yourself enjoy yourself too much, bad things are going to happen. As soon as you start smiling and thinking the world's your oyster, something's going to come up and bite you in the ass. But, Bert, are you seeing this team? Now the narrative is that this team is slipping. And
it was weird. I mean, we can't sit here and celebrate situational play and creative use of personnel and all of that stuff like we have for the last 15 years. And Troy Brown's a corner, and Mike Vrabel's a tight end, And Richard Seymour is a fullback. You can't celebrate all of that on one hand and then let them off the hook here, right?
Sure.
Like, you can't. Like, and it's the bad situational play at the end of the first half. You would crush another team if that happened.
Right.
Right? Like, taking a sack is just, like, and that's on Brady, bad as it gets. You know.
And when have you seen him do something like that?
That's points off the board.
Yeah.
And, like, part of that is the whole teaching yourself to fall and not taking a bullet that you don't have to take. I think that's part of it with Brady. It's like, that's his age now, is that, like, he's not, like, part of it with Brady is, like, the whole total athlete thing and everything else. And it's in the same department as, and we talked about this in the midday show yesterday, it's the same department as avocado ice cream and band workouts and all that different stuff is, like, here's a creative way I'm going to protect myself.
All right, so you're saying, his.
I think that was an example of that sort of gone amok.
Okay,
gone
so
amok.
You're saying that his reluctance to get hit.
I think it's the emphasis on protecting yourself and not taking hits that you don't need to take, which 99% of the time is good. Like, now it's become like instinctive. Where I think in that play, it was like, all right, they're close to me, I got to go down.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, if you watch the play closely, you see that. So, you know, that's obviously a bad play. And then at the end of the game, it's pretty simple, okay? There's a line somewhere on the field based on how far the quarterback can push the ball down the field, where the priority for the defense goes from having jumpers on the field to having tacklers on the field. And it was clear. It was clear that they were in the territory where you wanted to have tacklers, not jumpers, on the field. When was the last time we saw a quarterback? Like, and Tannehill's not Mahomes. He's not what Jay Cutler was. He's not Cam Newton was before his shoulder went sore. Like, he's not Josh Allen. What, like, even one of those guys. When was the last time you saw a quarterback get the ball to the end zone on a Hail Mary play from the other 30?
Right.
Yeah. Never.
Yeah.
Right. So, by definition, you're in the area where you want tacklers, not jumpers, on the field. And so that's on Bill. Like, that's on, like, if that's Devin McCourty out there instead of Rob Gronkowski, I think chances are Kenyon Drake's getting dragged to the turf.
Sure. Oh, without a doubt. So, I mean, because, you know, if he was faster, you know, Gronkowski was in a place where he could have made a great play.
Well, right. if he knew how to take any kind of angle on the play.
Yeah,
I mean, he should have pushed him out of bounds.
Sure.
I mean, he's a professional athlete.
Well, so, it looked like the wheels were, it looked a little bit like the wheels were turning, too, like, which is where he sort of lost his feet. You know, he lost his feet when it looked almost like he was like, oh, God, I need to get in a better angle. And then all of a sudden he's tripping over his shoelace.
So what are you thinking about? I know Connor, they're saying that he is, you know, he didn't practice the other day.
Yeah.
John said there was a report that he's expected to play.
No, he's playing.
We'll see.
All right, everyone's saying he's playing.
We'll see. I think that this is a desperate situation for the Steelers.
Yes.
So I'm still 50-50 on that. Like, if you're not practicing Wednesday and Thursday, like, it's just, this is one of those where I think even the Steelers don't know until they get to the weekend.
He's not 100%, and the injury is such, this is the way I've read it. They're saving all the bullets they can for the game.
They haven't run the ball very well for the last month.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the other thing is, like, if you look at it really since, I think it was the game against Jacksonville. It was the game in Jacksonville. They haven't run the ball very well over the last month. If I'm the Patriots, I go into this game and I say, God bless you. You can run the ball all you want. Mm-hmm. Like, we're more concerned at this point with Juju Smith-Schuster, with Antonio Brown, with Ben Roethlisberger. And so, like, Connor, I think, you know, you wait till the weekend, see what he has. I think they're going to see what he has in the walkthrough on Saturday. And, you know, then it's, can he make it through the game? That's the other part of it.
How banged up is Roethlisberger? By the way, what an awesome comedy of errors that whole Tomlin press conference was with the X-rays.
Well, it's crazy the way that happened. Like, I was with some Steelers people on Monday night, Tuesday night in Dallas, and they were talking about how outdated that stadium is, and really since the announcement of the move to Las Vegas, they haven't updated it at all. And so it's like
the stadium's dumped to begin with.
I guess the Steelers doctors could not believe the way the x-rays came back. Like, unreadable. And I think Tomlin said it in the press conference.
Yeah.
Like, unreadable. And so it took them a while to figure out what was wrong. then they're like, okay, he's good to go back in. But by then, they'd sort of wasted some time trying to figure out what's on the X-ray. So so then they've wasted that time. Then they shoot him up, right? And yeah. So now it takes time for that shot to take effect, and it turns into a big damn mess. And the other part about it is then you've got Roethlisberger himself, who is always going to disclose everything.
Sure.
Right? Like, always going to disclose every part of his injury situation. Oh, what's this plastic thing on my foot? That's a walking boot. Yep. I was a real hero out there today. That's part of the whole thing, too. It's bruised ribs. So, it's like, with bruised ribs, it's pain management, really.
Okay.
And so, like, that for him, I think it's going to be a matter of, like, how does it feel early in the game? And then, is he as willing to be Ben as he normally would be, which is the guy who extends plays, who makes it harder to cover Brown and Smith-Schuster because you've got to cover them for 5 or 6 seconds.
You know what I read is that he's been hit the second least amount of times in the NFL.
He's got one of the best lines in the NFL.
Yeah.
Like that line.
Just like this year?
Like that line has been.
But they got who's the O-lineman who's out? Who still hasn't practiced? Yeah. So he's been out. So, I mean, that might affect them, but this is going to be a game where both teams are. I mean, they're more desperate than the Patriots are, but still
far.
I mean, like, because if they've lost three in a row, and if they lose this one, they go to the Superdome next week, and you're looking at 7-7-1. So, as much as the Patriots may need this coming off the horrible loss and all the rest of it, the Steelers need it worse.
Well, the best scenario is the one Will Brinson gave us the other day, and that is if the Steelers lose out, which they could possibly.
And the Browns win out.
The Browns end up winning the division.
Well, they still need some help from the Ravens, I believe.
It's all right. Yeah, well, the Ravens are still hanging there. But, I mean, I think that...
Or maybe they play the Ravens and then that would...
Yeah, I think they do.
The Ravens have 5 losses?
But I think they play the Ravens in those last couple games, in the last few games. So, yeah. If they went out, I think that would... At least that's what Brinson said. I could be completely wrong. All I know is that Baker Mayfield, his buddy's going to be playing. And Cleveland has
at Denver... Let's see. Home against Cincinnati at Baltimore.
There was an article on ESPN breaking down the five rookie quarterbacks, and then they said Baker Mayfield, what he has to do, just keep coming, baby, because he's playing like an all-pro.
I think that's the most attractive job. I think that's going to be the most attractive.
With that
job
awful ever. Owner,
because Baker
More
Mayfield is a great quarterback.
Baker Mayfield is the reason why.
More than Green Bay.
Hell yeah!
Well, you don't have to play for an owner. But think about this:
if you like the Green Bay job, right? So you've got a 35-year-old quarterback who can be tough to deal with.
Sure,
right?
A little bit of a diva.
Okay, you've got a roster that's sort of in a little bit of a rebuild. You do have two first-round picks. You've got money to spend. You've got a young general manager. But how much longer is Rodgers going to play? So say you get 4 or 5 years. So you've got this window where you've got this window to win, and if you don't win right away, there's going to be this sense of urgency to get rid of you.
I don't know. You get the Jets job
because it's like we got to make the most
$100 million under the cap. You got Sam D. You got the whole thing happening. It's Feed the Fan Fridays presented by Stop and Shop, the official supermarket of the New England Patriots. Be listening after the break this morning for your chance to score a $100 Stop and Shop gift card to Feed Their Fandom. StopandShop.com.
More Toucher and Rich on 98.5 Sports Hub.
Got taken from me. I need the copy.
I seen her in the subway on my way to Brooklyn. Hello, good looking. Is this seat chicken on the A train? Picking out a brain. I couldn't get a number, couldn't get a name. I said I still like your style of fashion, but I hate your hostility attitude with a pass.
Eric B and Rakim, right? Like the Hulk a lot. I don't know. It's Feed the Fan Fridays presented by Stop and Shop, the official supermarket of the New England Patriots. Card number 10 right now is the Pride Motor Group contest line. 617-931-0985. The score $100 Stop and Shop gift card to Feed Their Fandom. That's stopandshop.com. Burt Breer from MMQB finishing things up here in the old radio station.
Is Atlanta going to botch the Super Bowl?
You guys would probably know like what the setup. You guys would probably know a little bit more about the setup than I would.
Dude, that whole area has been changed. Like, but I have no idea what's
going on. It's downtown. I mean, everything's going to be downtown.
Yeah.
There's plenty of hotels. It will be fine.
I think it's Atlanta's pretty used to hosting big events too, right? They've had Final Fours. They've had
they have the SEC championship, game.
They've had the Olympics. Right? That went well.
Like, they should be fine. Like, it won't be the disaster. I mean, after Minnesota last year, everything's going to feel great.
Well, that's a good point. I mean, that Minnesota...
That Minnesota Super Bowl was a disaster.
What was the consensus amongst, like, executives as to how that went? Because going there, it was a miserable experience for anyone who was involved.
Not as bad as Phoenix.
No, the cold was miserable. I would take Phoenix 100 times out of 100.
Phoenix is one of the worst weeks of my life.
And by the way, everyone in Minnesota was super nice. Like, they wanted it to work. Like, everyone who was working the event.
And you felt bad criticizing it because of that.
Because like, everyone was so pleasant.
They were trying really hard.
But, Phoenix, but you can't have rude. Phoenix is a dump. It was hell on earth. I'll never go back there in my life.
So you liked Minneapolis more?
Yes. 1,000 times more.
No.
A million times more.
Your skin felt it was being ripped off of your body as you were walking across the... No, it ain't like that was. Like, that was... How much was it? Negative 30?
No. We walked the 500 yards from our hotel to that mall, and about halfway there, Rich and I were like, this is one of the biggest mistakes we've ever made.
Yeah, at least you could walk there, unlike Phoenix, where you had to drive everywhere. Well,
I would rather drive.
But that wasn't Phoenix's fault. That was our hotel room's fault.
Also, going on the air at 4 in the morning was hell on earth. It was hell. Phoenix is a dump. It's a garbage town. I would never work there. I would never visit there again.
See,
it's horrible.
There's, for you guys, there's a gigantic bonus to the Atlanta Super Bowl. You guys know what that is?
What's that?
Well, there's going to be all kinds of remembrances of the last Atlanta Super Bowl.
Oh,
you guys remember
with Ray Lewis?
The last Atlanta Super Bowl was the greatest thing ever. I wasn't making a lot of money. And Budweiser paid me for, like, a lot of money for that time in my life to be, like, the mayor of Buckhead. And they had put, like, down, like, all this sand. It was, like, a beach in Buckhead, and there was volleyball, and there was freezing rain the whole week. So I got paid, like, what, $4,000?
Oh, that's right. The traffic was a disaster, right?
I got paid $4,000 to sit in a bar and drink all day.
Yeah. It was an absolute disaster. And on top of that, that whole area where Ray Lewis, the incident happened, it's gone. Like, they've completely gotten rid of all of those bars, that big row. It's like not nightclubs anymore.
It was in Buckhead, right?
It was. It's high dollar stores now. Like, it's like, you know, jewelry stores.
Is that where like the Ritz is? And there's like
the Ritz was always
down the road from that.
But the Buckhead, that area of Buckhead was always like where the Westin is with the Palm and the Four Seasons.
Right.
Or, in Four Seasons in Midtown, the Ritz is, is a bucket.
But the NFL's got to think no more cold weather cities. I mean, after what happened last year.
They're going to keep doing it. As long as it helps them get public financing for stadiums, I don't know where the line is. Like, I don't think they'd put one in Buffalo if Buffalo built a dome. But I don't. But I don't know. I mean,
no.
Well, no, but
why have they not put in Gillette then? Why is Gillette not?
Because it doesn't have a roof.
Because neither did the one in New York.
Yeah, but that's New York.
That's New York, though, and that was a $1.6 billion stadium that was privately financed. That was like a thank you, Jets and Giants, for doing this.
Are the Crafts pissed off that it's not going to come to Gillette? Like, is this something that they've been pushing for?
I mean,
where's it's everyone?
Not like,
stay?
But it's not like they're all alone. Well, I mean,
dude, look at the one that was in Arlington.
No,
there's no one for this.
I mean,
that's what I'm saying.
Boston could make it work. Like, it's not that the
put some people in Providence, which is equidistant.
I think you have the infrastructure here where you could make it work. Like, they're no different, though. Like, the Crafts aren't upset about it because they're no different than Chicago or Philadelphia or D.C. I mean, those are big cities that have they put up stadiums in the last 20 years, too. And so, like, I don't think that there's any anger over that or anything else. They understand. But if you're in a northern city and you build a stadium that has a roof on it, you're probably going to get one of these. Indianapolis got one.
Yeah.
Detroit got one.
Indianapolis was pleasant. I actually enjoyed the Super Bowl.
But the best one we went to.
But Indianapolis also got tremendously lucky.
Houston was the best
The weather in Indianapolis that week, you guys
I
remember.
Indianapolas.
It was like, it was like 65 degrees.
It was,
all
it was nice.
We went on the air at 6.
And I go to Indianapolis every February. Like, it's never been, I've covered 10 combines probably. It's never like I've never been to Indianapolis in February where it was like it was during that one.
Well, you know that if they have a Gillette Stadium where Radio Row more than likely would be, they would have to move to a certain spectacle dropped right in the center of Everett, right by a water pollution plant or whatever it is. The Everett Monolith.
Yeah. That thing gets, I mean.
The Encore.
I drove by that thing yesterday, man. Just a work of art.
It's just a gold brick on a swamp. Just sitting there right next
there's
to Mike's.
There's just nothing else around it.
No, that's right. It's like a water treatment plant right there.
Yeah, it's the water treatment plant and the Mike's roast beef.
Mike's roast beef, the water treatment plant, a bunch of triple deckers, and then the Encore.
Yeah, there it is.
There it is.
The Everett Monolith.
Oh, Nicholas, it's beautiful.
All right.
When does that open?
June, I think. It's going to be amazing. Like, the actual building inside is going to be amazing, but it's hysterical what surrounds it.
You guys should be able to get a lot of mileage out of that one when it opens, too.
Oh, I can't wait.
I'm going to go every
live
day.
Remote.
The minimums are too high.
Live remote, man.
A lot of Lawyer Malloy jerseys yelling at
broadcasting live.
I just can't wait to go to Everett and sit at a casino. All right. Burt Breer, thank you so much for the time.
Thanks, guys.
We appreciate it.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.